Okay, Romans chapter 10. As I said, I'm going to start with verse 11, which I ended with last week, but I wanted to use it as an introduction for today's message, where it says in verse 11 of Romans 10, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And then in verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's what we want to deal with. And I'll get to verses 11, 12, and 13 here. Whosoever. You know, there is absolutely no doubt from the scriptures, from the word of God, that anyone who desires the salvation that God has provided. And that's the key now. This is what we need to emphasize to people. Somebody said, well, anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. Well, everybody wants to be saved from something. Everybody wants to be saved from disease, from poverty, from despair. Everybody wants to be saved from death. Everybody wants to be saved in that way. So the Bible doesn't say whosoever wants to be saved will be. Man by nature wants to be saved his way, but there is absolutely no doubt that anyone who wants to be saved God's way will be saved. They will not be turned away by the Lord. We read last week in Isaiah 53 where it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've everyone turned to our own ways, to his own way. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but it's the way of death. Christ spoke of the broad road, the broad way that leads to destruction. You see, there's only one way of salvation. It's God's way. It's by his free sovereign grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no other way, but man by nature, as we are naturally born, seeks salvation other ways. And the common denominator to all the ways of man is it makes salvation in some way, to some degree, at some stage, conditioned on man so that man can take some glory for his own salvation. In some way, it may be works, it may be sincerity, it may be a decision. But man desires some glory in the sense that he can bring it down to say, I made the difference. No matter what God did, no matter what Christ did on the cross, I make the difference. That's what man wants to say. That's the broad way. And however man makes the difference, that depends upon what denomination they belong to, if they call themselves Christian. But we need to consider this verse 11. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, a lot of people, there are a lot of whosoever verses in the Bible. And I'll show you some more in just a moment. Whosoever believeth here. Whosoever calleth. We're going to look at Revelation 22 where it says, whosoever is, those who are thirsty, whosoever will drink of the water of life. Yes. Anybody who wants what God has prepared can have it. But the Bible is just as clear that man by nature, as we are naturally born, none of us want it God's way. That's the problem. So here's what the Bible says now. If anybody wants it God's way, then there's been a work already accomplished in that person, a work of God by the Holy Spirit to give them a new heart, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, make them willing in the day of God's power. Now, a lot of people use these whosoever passages to combat or deny the doctrine of election. You know, they say, well, if God chose a people before the foundation of the world, and the Bible says he did, you can't deny, well, I know they do deny, but you cannot deny it scripturally. If God chose a specific number to be saved, then that means that the whosoever wills aren't any good. No, it doesn't. Now, here's what we need to see. First of all, we do ourselves no spiritual or eternal good when we go through the Bible and pick and choose what we'll believe and what we won't believe, what we'll emphasize and what we'll ignore or even deny. And then we do ourselves no spiritual or eternal good when we go into pick out verses, take them out of their context, define words however we want to define them, instead of how they appear in their context. That's deadly. I'll never forget one time, this was years ago, but a fellow who had heard me preach on election, the doctrine of election from the scripture, he came up to me. He was an opponent of that doctrine. Even though I showed it to him, I said, I didn't come up with this. This is not my invention. Here it is in the scripture. God said, I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. It's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. What if God willing to show his wrath? Now what it says? Aren't the people of God called the elect of God? Evidenced by their believing? All of this, see? And he wanted to deny that. He wanted to be an opponent of that. And here's what he told me. He said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look upon the gate. And on the gate before I go in, it says, whosoever will may enter. And he says, when I get on the inside, I'm going to turn around. On the other side of that sign, it's going to say, chosen before the foundation of the world. And so I told him, I said, well, I said, that's your illustration. I said, that's not a biblical illustration. You know that. First of all, there's no gate with writing on it. But here, I said, your point is this. I said, what you're saying is, I'll deny the doctrine of election while I'm here on earth, but I'm going to accept it in heaven. Oh, I don't mean that. And I said, well, you've got another problem too. What you say is written on the backside of that sign on the gate. It's written right here in the Word of God right now. You don't have to wait and see it on the backside of a sign on a gate. Right here it is in the Book of God. Now, who are we to say what God says here is true, but what he says over here I don't have to believe until I get to heaven? Now, that's crazy. Why do we want to deny the doctrine of election? Why do we want to deny God's sovereignty? I'll tell you why. It's our pride. We want to think that we make the difference. I want to think that by nature now, I want to think that the reason I'm saved is because I was more pliable, more easily drawn to God. That my will was not as stern as those over there who won't come to God. I believed and they didn't. But you see, God has set this thing up as far as salvation that he gets all the glory and we get none. Now that's right. All the glory goes to God in Christ. We have no goodness. There's no spark of goodness in us. That's why people, when they say the whosoever wills, they think, well, that means we've got a spark of goodness. No, we don't. Not in God's sight now. Now, we have morals as far as human beings are concerned. But in God's sight, there's none good, no, not one. We don't have a spark of goodness. And all we need to do is get some eloquent, dynamic, powerful preacher who tugs at our emotions and fans that spark and drags us down an aisle. That's not the way it works. Salvation is by God's grace. And anybody that wants it can have it. And God would never turn anyone away who wants it, because if they want it, really, though his way, he's the one who made them want it. They're his creation. But now the Bible teaches that whosoever will, all right, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. If you believe on Christ, the true Christ, not a counterfeit Christ, in the glory of his person and the power of his finished work, you won't be ashamed. Now, if you don't believe on him, the true Christ, you will be ashamed. Because what you're so proud of in thinking that you made the difference, you're going to find out that it's nothing but iniquity. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But if you're in Christ, what are you going to do? You're going to stand before God, washed in his blood. The precious blood of Christ, God's word tells us. The blood that washes away my sins. Totally. So much so that my sins cannot be charged to me. You're going to stand before God in the righteousness of his Son. God himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." In other words, in Christ, listen, in Christ who went through our shame by bearing our iniquities, our sins imputed to him and suffered and bled and died. In Christ, he arose from the dead because of our justification. And we stand before God having his righteousness imputed to us. We don't have a thing to be ashamed of. My sins are all taken away. That's what that means. The gospel is a call for sinners to believe in Christ, not as false preachers preach him, not as we naturally think of him, but as God's word sets him forth. Whosoever believeth on him, that's the key. Who is the him here? Well, He's God manifest in the flesh without sin. And so whenever we go to the scripture, whether we see a whosoever, whether we see the word world, whether we see the word all and every, all those words have to be interpreted in light of the truths that have been set down by God in the gospel. And if you remove that, then you don't know what you're talking about. I've made this statement, and I believe it holds true. Like, let's take like the word all. Now, this is the word whosoever. All right? Whosoever what? It's not just they say, well, whosoever will. I heard a preacher say, man by nature is a whosoever won't. Yeah, whosoever will. If you will... What is that? What does the Bible say, if you will? It means God has made you willing in the day of his power. But take the word all. somebody says, well, that means everybody without exception. No, it doesn't. It never does. All is a pronoun. And it must be defined by its antecedent. Somebody said, well, what about the verse in Romans 3:21-3? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that mean all without exception? No. It doesn't include the elect angels. They're not included in that. They're an exception. Somebody said, well, it's all human beings. No. It's not the man Christ Jesus. He didn't sin and come short of the glory of God. But he's God. Well, that's true. But he's also man. So there's one exception in the annals of humanity that didn't sin and come short of the glory of God. So who does the all refer to? I'll tell you exactly who it refers to. You're listening? All who have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's who it refers to. That's who it means. No more, no less. Now, have you sinned and come short of the glory of God? Well, you're in that all. Have I sinned and come short of the glory of God? I'm in that all. That's who the all are. Well, what about the world? Well, the word world sometimes refers to the fallen, condemned world. Sometimes it refers to the cosmos, the creation. Sometimes it refers to God's elect out of the world, all over the world, Jew and Gentile. How do you know? Look at the context. When you read a passage like John 3:16, what does it say? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," now there's a whosoever there, "whosoever what? Whosoever believeth on him," in him. Now, do we naturally believe on him? No. Will we, if left to ourselves, believe in him? The Bible says no. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. You go back to the Old Testament and you look at passages like Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 37, where the prophet of God is talking about the future calling of God's elect among both Jew and Gentile. And here's what God says. He said, "I'll give them a new heart. I'll give them a new spirit." Well, why didn't he do that to the ones that he was talking to in that present day? What was wrong with them? He left them to themselves. But the call of the gospel is the same, isn't it? Whosoever believeth on him. Who? Jesus Christ. The God, God manifest in the flesh, who died on the cross as the surety, substitute, and redeemer of his people, to whom God had given him before the world began, and by his death satisfied the justice of God and brought forth righteousness, which God has imputed to them, by which they are brought to faith in Christ and repentance of dead works. What's the evidence of being a whosoever will? Do you believe on Christ? Have you repented of dead works? Do you continually look to him and him alone as the author and finisher of your faith? So the Bible teaches, there's no doubt. You don't have to argue with people about whosoever will. Whosoever believe. Anybody who wants it can have it. But what does the Bible teach us about our sinfulness and our depravity? By nature, we don't want it. The natural man. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man. What is it he won't do? Now think about that. Turn over to that scripture. I've shown you this before, but this is a good passage for you to if somebody challenges you on this, this is a good passage to look to. In verse 14, he says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Now, what is the natural man? Well, that's speaking of man and men and women as we are naturally born into this world. Didn't Christ say you must be born again or you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God? You must be born again. Why? Because as we are naturally born, we won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. Now, what is it we won't do? Well, the natural man wouldn't think of smoking a cigarette, wouldn't think of drinking wine, wouldn't think of gambling. No, natural man will do all that. Wouldn't go to church, wouldn't walk an aisle, wouldn't get baptized. Wouldn't make a profession of faith? Would the natural man do that? According to the Bible, he will. What is it he won't do? He won't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. That means know them intimately. Because they're spiritually discerned. He doesn't have a spirit as far as the spirit of life. He's spiritually dead. But now what is it specifically about the things of the Spirit of God that the natural man will not receive? Well, look up at verse 12. Now he's already told us over in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross. To them that are perishing, it's what? Foolishness. To them that are being saved, it's what? It's the wisdom of God. Boy, I tell you what, that ought to tell us that one thing we need to understand without any doubts is what is the preaching of the cross. was the preaching of the gospel, the person and work of Christ, his righteousness. That's what it is, the righteousness of God. But look at verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Now look at it. That we might know the things that are what? Freely, unconditionally given to us of God. That's what the natural man won't receive. He's got to put conditions on himself to receive whatever blessing he perceives. To say, I made the difference. But no, the Spirit of God shows us that everything that we have, now think about this, everything that we have in salvation and a right relationship with God is free, 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 but it's based upon a just ground of one who paid the cost, whose name is Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. That's what the natural man won't receive. You mean to tell me that it's not based upon what I do? I mean to tell you just that. And even your willingness, if you're willing to come to Christ and receive him, even that didn't come from you. That came from God. Now that's what the Bible teaches. Now why is that so important? Why, you know, somebody said, well, you're just splitting hairs. No. Why is that so important? I'll tell you why. Because the glory of God is at stake here. And he's not going to share his glory. Well, go back to Romans 10, look at verse 12. And here's how he makes his point. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the Jew and the Gentile. Same Lord over all. If God saved me, and if God saved you, truly, I can tell you something. It's the same God, not a different God. It's not a God who saved you based upon something else and then a God who saved me based upon something other than that. Same Lord over all is rich unto all, not all without exception, but all that call upon him. All that call upon him. People in religion today have denigrated the scriptures down to such a shallow way of thinking. And that it's just like one old philosopher said several years ago. He said, religion in America is 3,000 miles wide and 1 inch deep. And when he said that, he wasn't talking about sincerity. What is the reason for our hope? Well, we want to climb into the scriptures. I want to hear what God says. I think we read this passage last week, or I may be going to read it today. I don't remember. But it says, God, well, it's Psalm 85. Yes, we read it last week. But in Psalm 85, one of my favorite psalms, where it talks about righteousness and peace have kissed each other, mercy and truth have met together. It says in verse 8, well, it says verse 7 of Psalm 85. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. You know how he puts that? It's not anybody can have salvation who wants to be saved. No, here's what I need. Show us your mercy, Lord. The kind of mercy that the Lord shows. Show us thy salvation. The kind of salvation that God provides. That's what I need to hear about. And then it says in verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. Now, if old Pastor so-and-so speaks to you about this issue, that's okay if he's telling you what God the Lord has spoken. But if he's not, who's in trouble? Both of you. If you believe him. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he, God, will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to. I want God to speak peace to me. How about you? And how does he do that? It's not in dreams and visions and voices. It's in His Word right here. How does God save people? Well, how does He save the Jew? How does He save the Gentile? Same way, by His sovereign grace, based upon the righteousness of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. If God speaks peace, there's peace. The Bible says there's joy and peace in believing. In believing what? That's your key. It's not just in believing. Could you say there's joy and peace in believing that I'm good enough to get into heaven? Well, that's wrong. That's a lie. You're believing a lie. There's joy and peace in believing what God says concerning who He is, who I am, and who Christ is, and how He saves sinners. That's where joy and peace is. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So it's the same Lord over all. He's rich and all that call upon Him. Now look at verse 13. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody, anywhere, at any time, who truly calls upon His name shall be saved. Now, what is it to call upon His name? What is His name? It's not just a title. His name involves His character, His nature, who He is, that distinguishes Him from all dead gods, that distinguishes Christ from all counterfeits. His name is His way. How does God do this? Why does God do this? How does He save sinners? How can a holy God be just and justify the ungodly? The answer to that is His name. His name shall be called Jesus. For what? He shall save His people from their sins. I'm going to preach this in a few minutes in the main message. People today, they don't understand the dynamics that brought forth the cross of Christ. Why He did it, what He accomplished on the cross. You see, the gospel involves not what Christ tried to do, but what He actually accomplished when He died. And what did He do? He established righteousness. And what does that righteousness do? It's imputed to all of God's people and ensures their eternal salvation. Ensures that they'll have life, that they'll believe, that they'll be preserved and brought unto glory. So next week, I'm going to start with verse 14 on the subject of what does it take? What does it take for a sinner to call upon the name of the Lord? And He tells us there, it takes the work of God through the preaching of the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let me close with this. Look over at Revelation 22. I already mentioned John 3:16. It's in the last paragraph of your lesson there. But God so loved the world. Who's He talking about? He's talking about the world of His elect. Somebody said it doesn't say that. Oh, yes, it does. Read the rest of the Bible. It also says that the whole world lieth in the wicked one in 1 John chapter 5. Is that talking about everybody without exception? No, it's talking about those who are consumed and controlled by satanic deception. How do you know them? They believe not. They won't call upon the name of the Lord. Well, look here at Revelation 22 and verse 17. He says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's the church. The bride is the church. And the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And what He's talking about is the church as the witness of Christ here on earth in the power of the Spirit. So that when we tell people the gospel and say, come to Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, see, we're guided by the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Now, what's the problem? Well, the natural man, he's spiritually deaf. How many times did Christ say in the first two chapters, or in chapters 2 and chapter 3, of Revelation, when he's talking to the seven churches, let him that hath an ear hear. He told the disciples in Matthew 13, blessed are your eyes for they see, blessed are your ears for they hear. So if you hear, he that heareth, come. What does that mean? It means you're being given spiritual life. And let him that is athirst come. Now man naturally is thirsty. He's thirsty for a lot of things. But he's not thirsty for God's way. He's not thirsty for the water of life which is in Christ. He has to be made thirsty for that. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. Because if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you know what? It's the Spirit of God that made you so. And he'll fill your thirst and he'll fill your hunger by pointing you to Christ as your only righteousness before God. So let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, whosoever is willing, let him take of the water of life, and here's that word again, freely. Let him take of the water of life. You see what he's saying there? Whosoever, yes sir, anybody who wants it, can and will have it. God has never and he will never turn any sinner away who truly desires the salvation that he has established and provided for his people. All right.